Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting... Oh!
Let him play!
He wins. Great steak. Smells like poop.
Honestly, like, if Urban Meyer wants to come to Connecticut, bring him on. I mean, come on. I'll take him, too.
Nia Jackson, I think, weighs 280 pounds.
Oh!
Can we isolate that clip? Nia Jax weighs 280 pounds. Oh!
Let her play.
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Now, here's Dave Medina.
Good evening, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here for the big A to Z show. Good to have you with us from the Dave in the City studios in Southern California. We'll come up with the fancy names for Southern California later when we've gotten a better feel and a better path to recovery. I mean, we're in a little in trying times, but we certainly are making the most of it. And I hope you guys are safe out there wherever you are, continuing to stay in place and protect yourselves and protect your family and stay healthy as we combat the coronavirus all around the globe. And that's as much as I can say right now. I mean, you certainly are keen on the news. We're going to keep you entertained in the meanwhile with continuing topics, and we've got another one tonight. It should be a fun time, and we've got more to come on our next program, and we're going to roll on through. I mean, we've done A and B. We hope you've enjoyed both of those, A with the junk band, B with the cap, and then tonight we're going to be joined by our good friend Chris in Syracuse as our A to Z anthology series runs up to the letter C. Tonight, it's time to talk about cocktails and what I call our cocktail hour. And a guy who's quite familiar with the cocktail, a man who's good at making one himself, he is Chris in Syracuse. Chris, welcome back. How's it going on this evening?
That's going pretty well. It seems like I was just on the show. We just did one not long ago, right?
We just did. And it feels, yeah. But it feels like it was it feels like it was 10 years ago now. After what we've been
right, through. Right. But do we want to go back and listen to that one? How'd that one hold up?
You know, I was worried about it definitely when I posted it. You definitely weren't sure. I mean, that was boy. That is you could just put a giant sheer and smiley next to that podcast because it was just completely. You just throw the whole thing out the window. I mean. We're talking about the number one seeds and the first round and who could win the thing. And now we're sitting here and there's no games. And it was something to behold. But congratulations to Dayton for winning the virtual NCAA tournament. I got the news about that. Great job out of them.
Oh, I didn't. That was a thing?
Yeah, I think. Let me cue that up just to make sure that that's correct. Because they did some sort of simulations, and they said that Dayton won. So that's great.
How's that taste, man?
Oh, you must love that. I forgot about that. Oh, yeah, Simulation Sunday. How Dayton won the 2020 championship. Now, if you want to know who they beat, let's see. Let's see who they beat. I know you had. I figured you'd get a kick out of that. Let's see. They won by taking out. Oh, this is great. Dayton beat Gonzaga, so you were almost there with Gonzaga. You predicted them, and in the Final Four, Dayton beat Duke, and Gonzaga beat Florida State. All right, we did kind of have a feeling for Florida State too. I thought that was interesting. So, yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah,
not a bad tournament, but
yeah. Of course that's how it would happen too.
Figures, right? I've been waiting for them to lose all year.
If that had happened in real life, oh my god, that would have been way too good. I don't deserve that.
Oh, that would have been an epic recap show. I mean, I don't even know. You probably would have just dropped the mic at that point and been like, I'm done. I'm out. No more shows.
Yep. Can we just touch on one other thing?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, you know how everything with everyone, like everything's changing. And how much did the NFL change in the past 2 days?
Yeah.
Have we ever seen anything like this? I'm trying to remember
That's a good question. Yeah.
I don't think that's always. I mean, we've seen some free agent signings in the past, but this is nuts.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, to be fair, the guys that were signed were pretty old. To be fair, I mean, Brady,
He's
not getting any younger. I mean, the guy looked pretty washed up last time I saw him. And same thing for Rivers. So you have, but not only are you, everything you just said, but.
Hold on. Can we get a mark on that so when it's Indianapolis Tampa Bay in the Super Bowl next year?
I could only imagine. I'll give you. Do you have a Wendy's near you? Do you have Wendy's? I guess I should pick a restaurant.
Yeah. There's one at the other end of Cicero.
Okay. Well, do something more convenient than that. If that's on the other end of your town, like maybe something closer might be better. Whatever that restaurant is, we'll get you free that for a year. Like, I'll just send it to you in the form of like $10 gift cards every week. Just have that for
you.
A
got week. It. The series, but I mean, the Hopkins trade and.
Yeah.
I just want to say something about. Because I got to say this out loud because you know how much I like the Buffalo Bills. No, I just love the Buffalo Bills. I love the Buffalo Bills fans. So much. So were they sitting there saying that we're one piece away? Like we're one piece away from, we're one player away from getting this done. Because when you give up four picks for one guy, that is what you are saying.
Yeah.
So are they sitting there believing that?
Yeah.
All Josh Allen needed was a big play guy to throw to, and everything was going to be fine.
Yeah, that you're right. I can't answer that question. I'll just leave that for everyone else.
Four picks for one guy. That is what you are saying to me, anyway.
Well, I mean, he's great, though. I mean, Hopkins is really, really great. Like he's really great.
But no. Bills didn't get Hopkins. Cardinals got Hopkins.
Oh, excuse me.
Diggs.
Oh, we're on different things. I'm lost.
Yeah.
We can edit that part. No, it's my fault. I'm the one that. It's my fault.
We lost the tapes. Tapes don't exist.
We go right where the oil right next to the loyalty oath tapes with me mixing up the Stephon Diggs. No, Diggs.
We'll put that with the loyalty oath tapes and. Our March Madness show.
Oh, yeah. Our March Madness preview that didn't happen. It's insane. Think about it. It's barely been a week. That's a lot of things that changed in a week. So.
Oh, yeah.
You just never know. You know, you can't predict anything, Susan. Forget baseball. Like, anything else. You can't predict that either.
Right.
But except me, apparently, if I predict Dayton to lose, they win. So the simulation seems to suggest that I was...
even the computers think.
I wish I could have seen that tournament in real life. It's just about that's too bad, but it happens. You know, you can't.
I don't think Dayton would have won.
No. I think your Gonzaga pick would have probably been closer to reality, though. I think that could have happened. I think they would have made it certainly.
Yeah.
You were good, you know.
Like I said, if there was ever a year for it, where everything's a little bit toned down, you know, Duke wasn't all that great, but no matter what some people seem to have thought, I guess it would have been Kansas. Kansas looked good at the end. It seemed I saw where someone's. Suggested that if they awarded Kansas the national title based on the polls, because they were number one in all the polls at the end. Bill Self's like, yeah, we'd take it.
Yeah, I'm sure you'd take it.
I'm sure you would.
I'm sure you'd take it, but nobody ever. Like, I don't think. I mean, it's rare.
Even he's saying stuff like, Yeah, there'd be a big asterisk.
Yeah. Like, there's no doubt.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, the simulation didn't even have Kansas make the Final Four. Duke beat them in the Elite Eight, according to this bracket I have in front of me. So they didn't. They did okay, but they didn't make it all the way to the championship as I predicted they would. And
So it was almost typical Kansas.
Pretty much. It looked like they got the simulation pretty accurate. Like I think you could have said that this was last year's bracket, and we'd believe it. The Kansas part, I mean, we definitely would. So.
Well, they made it to the second weekend, so, you know, kudos.
That's fair.
Sometimes they can't even get that much down.
That's fair. Yeah. Now, let's see. I mean, if you want to look for this bracket, just go to the NCAA basketball section of CBSSports.com. You'll have a lot of fun looking at the simulation. And as for the 12-5 upsets, I don't see one here. Auburn played Akron, and Akron lost to Auburn. Okay, Auburn beat them. We had to follow up on that. And that's probably right, because I don't think Akron's defense was that great anyway. But Louisville wasn't. Do you remember? Anyway, Louisville goes on. They beat Liberty. See, that's a shame. See, Liberty should have been 12th. That would have been a better matchup. Liberty versus Auburn. I was looking forward to that. And so they end up doing Liberty against Louisville. And Louisville takes out Auburn.
That would have been the most odd game to watch. Mm-hmm. Liberty and Auburn. Oh, my God. Would that be an odd game to watch?
Yeah. Yeah. There's no doubt. And that would. So I think that's a shame. You know, it's just a shame it didn't work out. But
yeah,
they may have another shot next year. I don't think Liberty's going to change their defensive style in a year. I think they're
probably not.
Yeah. So
no. The only people I've seen make a change like that, like kind of quick, was this past year the Belmont team, because they were always offense, go for 20 years. Under Rick Byrd. And then Rick Byrd retired. Mm-hmm. And the guy that came in, he wasn't an outside guy. He's been there for ever and ever and ever. But all of a sudden, we're playing defense now. We're still gunning threes, but we're playing defense. It's like, whoa.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you know, Belmont games getting to 152 isn't a guarantee. They used to be a guarantee.
Yeah, but that is pretty drastic. I mean, especially if it comes from a coach and from the same incumbent staff, that is interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess he was just fed up with it. He was tired of losing in a big spot or something. I'm not sure. But you know what's interesting? Louisville does end up beating Auburn in the second round in the simulation. And what that says to me is that ultimately defense beats out an Auburn team. And Louisville's defense has been pretty good throughout the season, I think. And so that doesn't seem too surprising to me. I would have probably looked at that if it had happened in real life and said, yep, that's about what I thought. Like, I was like, yep, that's who Auburn is or are. And same. And where did LSU end up? Did they even make the tournament? Let me look. I don't even see them in here. They must have lost to somebody, or maybe they didn't even get in. Oh, wow. They beat so Florida State beat him in the second round. Oh, okay, that's not that big. That's not an upset. You wouldn't think that's a big upset, would you? Because LSU's a 10 seed anyway. Florida State to 2. Yeah, no, that's not a big upset. That's probably right.
No.
Nah. Let me get back to the point that you're making about Stephon Diggs. Now he's good, but he's not that good. So I didn't. Now that I understand that I referred to the incorrect player the first time, that's way too much to pay for Stephon Diggs. It would not be too much to pay, in my opinion, for Hopkins.
No,
because he's good. Andre Hopkins is a great player. I think you take the risk. It's a risk, but you would take it. But Stephon Diggs, no. It's like I think they're pretty much.
That risk if you think that that one player is going to get you all the way.
Yeah, 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 you're right. And he's not. No wide receiver can make that much of a difference in the NFL. Even the best wide receivers ever. Look at the Texans. He was on the Texans.
Don't tell them that.
Oh, man. Well, here's to all of us. Hopefully we can all get healthier so that we can enjoy some of these bad decisions that both the Texans made and the Bills made over the last couple of days. But they did approve a new CBA in the middle of that. I was actually going to talk about this on the next show because I have Ron coming on there. But the new CBA calls for a 17th game, which I'm not a fan of. I know there was no way they were going to avoid this, but it still sucks. I just don't like the idea of there being 17 games in the NFL season. I already thought 16 games was too many. I think it should be 14. I don't think you need 16 games. That's too many games. I think all you do by adding games to the regular season is you're adding basically practice time. I don't think this is going to help anybody but the owners. I don't think the players are going to get that much more money. The owners are going to get more money, and everybody else gets nothing except just extra fluff. What do you think about this extra long schedule and the expanded playoffs?
Well, I think you're seeing in the reaction, what's interesting in the reaction to it is the divide between the star players and the everyday guys who make the league go round.
Okay. And where are they? Which side are they on?
Well, it seems like the higher caliber players were not in favor of this.
Mm-hmm.
But the other guys liked it.
Hmm.
17th game aside, I don't know what way to go on that. I mean, when you look at the actual dollar value that the players are getting out of this, it's quite a bit. And there's different things in there, too. Like, now there's going to be, they expanded the rosters, I think,
mm-hmm.
on game day by two or three guys, something mm-hmm. like that.
Yep. Well, that's significant. That is significant. I feel late to the party on this, but that is significant.
And I'll tell you what, from their point of view, if you're a borderline guy,
yeah,
there's how many teams in the NFL? 32 teams, right?
32, yep.
So if they're increasing the rosters by two players a team, that is 64 more jobs.
Yeah.
And if you're borderline, yep, that makes a difference to you.
Oh, yeah. No, there's no question. I mean, that's going to make a huge difference in the, you know, in the roster cuts during the preseason and everything. That's a good point. Yeah. No, I think that I get. I see that. So they're saying that they're willing to take the chance on the extra game and the extra playoff games, which, by the way, means less player safety. So these guys talking about safety, my ass. But beyond that, I guess that's true. I guess it's a risk that they're willing to take in order to get more jobs. And generally, unions try to do that. So that isn't too bad. And I'm sure that that's good for people who run the teams, too. It offers extra flexibility, especially because when guys get hurt, you will find good use for those extra slots. So I think it's just the idea of expanding rosters seems like a good idea anyway.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Especially with the more specialization you have now.
Mm-hmm.
There's not the one place that's really taken a hit lately as far as rosters and whatever is special teams.
Mm-hmm.
And now
yeah.
you can maybe have a guy on there who's mainly a special teams guy.
Yeah.
But I knew this was going to pass, looking at it. I knew it was going to pass, even, you know, Rodgers was outspoken against it and a few other guys were. But let me tell you one thing. There are a lot more, you know, offensive and defensive linemen, backup linebackers,
right,
and the like in the league than there are Aaron Rodgers. So I knew it was going to pass.
It's very, yep, yep. No, I knew it was going to pass, too. I was resigned to that idea. There was no way around it. I just think that ultimately these guys, collectively, the owners, the players, the lower-end players that you speak of, they all wanted more money. Supporting positions, they don't make that much money compared. I mean, really, it would be laughable if you figured out the breakdown of how much money like every player makes or every type of player, or every position makes. I mean, as you get to the less and less visible positions, so you start at quarterback and maybe you go wide receiver, And then you go in, basically you go from outside in. And then you have the, you know, like the tight ends. They make a little more. And then after that, it gets very unsavory. Like you're talking about tackles and then guards and then centers. And
on the tackles can make money, but guards, centers.
Yeah, centers. I don't really see centers. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so that's you're right. I think the balance of it is that you might say, oh, NFL players are overpaid. No, only some of them are overpaid. There are plenty of them that aren't really making that much money, you know, relative to the rest of the league. Plenty of them. Defensive players get almost no love when it comes to payroll and salary. Very little. I mean, there are cornerbacks that do, the pass rushers that do.
Pass rushers that do.
Yeah.
Not that many inside linebackers getting paid these days.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. You know? And how about defensive ends do get paid sometimes, but...
Yep. But like you said, if they're pass rushers...
Yeah. Well, how about nose tackles? You ever hear of a nose tackle getting a multi-million dollar, $100 million deal? No.
Once in a while, you know, your Vince Wilforks of the world will, but generally the defensive tackles, not as much. Even though I'll say that I think more recently that's become a bigger deal.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just my observation.
Yeah, all right. I think that sounds accurate enough. And obviously there are people that know even more about this than we do. So I could always talk to them about it. So let's get to our topic tonight. We're talking about cocktails.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
We got quite a few things to discuss with regard to the topic of beverages. And I know that with yourself, it's been a really good passion of yours that you've expressed about in recent years. So I think we can start with that. I'm going to have a random question for you from the Junk Man related to cocktails. And then near the end of the program, I have for you the top 10 worldwide selling cocktails of 2019 from Business Insider. So we'll get to that. That'll be a lot of fun. So let's start with your thoughts on the entire genre of cocktails. And is this something you've been doing for a while, or is this something that you really kind of grew a passion for in recent years?
It's actually more recent. You know, at some point I just got a little bit, you know, I drank your very common stuff growing up and whatever, you know, your Jack and Coke, your rum and Coke, stuff like that, simple stuff. And, you know, at some point I just got a little bored and I started to do a little research and this and that. It's like, oh, maybe I just don't want to drink beer all the time, or, you know, there's just so much more out there, all these bottles that you see, and, you know, you don't know what they are or what's in them, or you really don't know what's in them. And I just decided at one point I was going to try some stuff, and, you know, if I didn't like it, I didn't like it, and keep what I did like. And, you know, I'm still trying stuff to this, you know, still trying stuff now. And I've discovered some things that I really like along the way. I mean, up until about 3 years ago, I had never had gin. I just never had it.
Yeah.
Don't know why. Never thought to try it. And all of a sudden I started, you know, trying some gin drinks, martini, and even just a gin and tonic, or, you know, a Tom Collins. It's like, wow, this stuff is really good.
Yeah.
It's like I've wasted like almost 30 years of my life not drinking gin.
Yeah, it's funny how you can adapt it to many products.
It's just like I just never had the exposure to it.
Right.
I had to go out and try it, I guess. And yeah. Really glad I did.
What was the first drink you can remember mixing to that effect, like when you reach this phase? Like, what was the one that you felt was the beginning of your adventure?
An old fashioned.
Ah.
Because I did have, you know, some Jim Beam sitting around, and I figured that one seemed easy enough, and I knew I liked Jim Beam or bourbon in general, so that's what I went to try. And, man, if you look up online, there are just so many ways just to do that one simple drink, and there's the, you know, the real way to do it, and then there's kind of the way that they showed in, what was the AMC show there, Mad Men,
mm-hmm.
which it was a big deal. The one guy always had his old fashioned. That one was a little different, and, you know, you can try it all kinds of different ways. But really, when it comes down to it, that's just a real simple one. It's just bourbon, sugar, and, you know, in the way of simple syrup,
mm-hmm.
but bourbon, sugar, and bitters. When the Mad Men popularized it, you know, they had the, where you muddle the orange in there, and then you top it with some club soda, which isn't bad because I do kind of like the bubbles in my drink. That's, but, I mean, for real, that's just a very simple thing. And, you know, I just kind of went from there and added a bottle here and a bottle there and of different stuff. And
yep.
It's a good, you know, found out tequila's just, you know, can be used for a little bit more than just taking shots.
yeah. I mean, as you know, it's a big component of margaritas, which I guess is another easier one to make.
Oh, yeah. That's very simple and very good, too.
Yeah, definitely.
In fact, I found an alternative to the margarita, and I have a big sweet tooth.
Mm-hmm.
So when I saw this, I had to try it. It's basically the same thing as a margarita, but using pineapple juice.
Mm.
And it's sweet, and it's just something, I mean, when I found it, I just, you know, I think it was just called Patron and Pineapple, but it's still got the orange liqueur in it.
Right, and I think that's called the Triple Sec?
Well, Triple Sec is not, it's kind of like orange liqueur, but that's on the very low end. That's something you're going to find $8 to $10 a bottle of, you know, the Hiram Walker Triple Sec, which is fine. It does fine in something like that, but... But, I mean, you got your high-end orange liqueurs, too, your Grand Marnier's.
Ooh, you're stepping up here. Yeah.
Well, that's... I found one in the middle. Patron started making one.
Because
the Grand Marnier is like 30, almost 40 bucks for a 750 milliliter, you know?
Oh, okay.
Bottle. I wanted something a little bit better than a... you know, $8 bottle of Triple Sec, but I didn't want to pay that. But Patron came out with one that's, you know, about 20 bucks a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
That I can live with, and it's pretty good. So,
right.
That's the other thing. If you want to talk about brands, man, and that's another thing I attempt to try a different brand of stuff, you know, every time I run out. To a certain extent, I do have my favorites and whatnot, but I try to throw in a different one here and there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's a certain whiskey or vodka or rum or whatever that you tend to gravitate to.
No, that's a great question. So, I mean, I'm probably not as picky about that sort of thing yet, but.
If you're mixing,
yeah,
and you're doing cocktails, mm-hmm. you know, you really don't need the highest end stuff for that,
right? Yeah,
because you're mixing, and
yeah,
you don't
want
to, but even at the lower to mid end, I mean, I try not to, I don't drink much, you know, drac, but you know, I even mix up a bottle here or there,
right?
As far as mean, I'm just now finishing, and this is kind of one of the, I mean, for a mix, it's pretty good. Bombay Sapphire gin. That's pretty good stuff.
I like it. I've not tried it yet, but I mean, it sounds pretty good.
It's going to set you back about 30-ish.
Oh.
A bottle.
Wow. What's the regular rate for a bottle of gin, though? Like, what's a normal price?
Man, I'm trying to remember now what I paid for the New Amsterdam, which is actually pretty good. And for its price, it's pretty good. I forgot what that was, a bottle, but the New Amsterdam was very smooth, and that's, as far as a mixer, that was one of my more favorites. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, you go up from there, and you get your Beef Eater.
Right.
And I'm no expert either, but I also like Tanqueray. That's a good one, too. Mm-hmm. But that's getting more up towards your Bombay Sapphire.
Okay.
Point, too.
Yeah. That's very interesting,
both,
though.
Both very good. Both very good. Both very smooth, too.
Right. Yeah. Oh, I think I'm with that. So, favorite whiskey? I just go with something basic. Like, yeah, I'm a real novice. Like, I'm just doing Jack Daniels. I'm good. Like, I don't overdo it.
There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, no, it is a solid drink, isn't it? Yeah.
Yep.
And, a lot of times I just have it with, I often have it just with Coke, or Diet Coke sometimes. I mean, that's pretty much all I need to do. Some of my other favorite liquors, and again, for those of you who are really experienced at the cocktail, I'm going to embarrass myself here with these, but I do like Seagram 7, which I forget whether that's a rum or what, but that 7 and 7 is a big favorite of mine, and I also like the Bacardi rum a lot. So a Bacardi based Cuba Libre, where you have the tall glass and you have the Coke and the Bacardi and the lime wedge on the top.
Little bit of lime.
Just a little bit of lime in the mix. That's very good. I used to be a hardcore Jack and Coke guy, and I transitioned into Bacardi and Coke, because Bacardi and Coke is just like that, but it's a smoother version of it. It doesn't have as much of a bite. But not to say I don't like the other, like a whiskey and Coke, but a whiskey and Coke somehow it doesn't feel as tropical as a rum and Coke. And
no, absolutely not. Then rum is your classical tropical drink. Mm-hmm. That's what all the, that's what all the tiki drinks have in them and all that. I got Bacardi as well, but got the white, because that's a white rum. But I also like a spiced rum, or having a spiced rum on hand, mm-hmm. like Captain Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
Not our captain, Captain Morgan.
Our captain was a big fan of Fireball for many years. Might still be. That seems a little... I'm not a big Fireball guy, because I feel like you're taking something that's already working and then you're like screwing around with it. Wait, where are you with it?
I mean, I'm fine with it. I actually prefer... Have you ever had Jack Fire? It's just a cinnamon version of Jack Daniels.
I think I might have
had
that. Yeah, it's kind of like their version, right?
Yeah, I think that one's better. It doesn't taste as candied to me.
Yeah, I would be good with that.
Fireball almost tastes candy. But then again, I don't mind Dr. McGillicuddy's either, and that's mm-hmm. like highly flavored schnapps, but
yeah.
That's kind of lowbrow.
Right.
But that menthol mint, Dr. McGillicuddy's mm-hmm. schnapps. I mean, if you're stuffed up in the winter, take a swig of that. You'll be cleared out.
Love it. All right. So where you are, you're pretty close to. You're closer than me, at least. You're closer than me to 9:30. Oh, you're closer than me. Not 9:30. You're closer than me. Me to Long Island, the home of the Long Island iced tea. And the first time I had it, I had no clue that it was an extremely strong drink, and I was gone after drinking a couple of them. Oh, yeah. That was a learning moment for Dave. It was gone.
That'll bite you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I was wiped out at the end of the night. But But that's a favorite, and it is definitely a long-standing classic. It's certainly in my upper echelon. I don't know about Mount Rushmore because I don't even know how many drinks I really drink, but it's a really good one. Where do you put that in your echelon?
You know, it's not something. That's not one I've done a lot of. I don't think I've had one. I've had it more than once, but I don't think it's something I've ever mixed here at home myself. Maybe I should give that a try, see how I do.
Okay.
Seeing if I, you know, have to make sure I had all the requisite ingredients. But yeah, that's something. To me, that one, I like it because no matter, it seems like it's got all that stuff in it, and as strong as it is, it's still fairly smooth. It still goes down nice and easy, which is dangerous on one extent, you know, and one idea. But, you know, I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Like I said, you know, I have a little bit of a sweet tooth, and that's got just that little bit of sweetness to it.
Yeah, the lemonade is definitely like the hook for that drink, and then you're drawn into all kinds of liquors. It's like a five cheese pizza but with alcohol. It's so
really, very true.
Really comprehensive. So good. So let's just close with this in terms of talking about general cocktails. What are your favorite cocktails? I think the easy way to ask this question is, if you could do like a Mount Rushmore of cocktails that you've had in your experience, well, you know, recent experience, whatever your experience, what would be in your top four, or what would be in your Mount Rushmore?
Definitely the Sidecar. Love the Sidecar.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great one with the brandy and the. And the orange liqueur, that's just a great little drink, and so easy to make and very good. I've been a big fan since I've tried them of the mules, both the Moscow Mule, you know, the ginger beer or ale with the vodka,
mm-hmm.
but also. You can do other kind of mules. I like a Caribbean mule myself.
Okay.
Which is the same idea, just with rum. And man, a little bit of spiced rum with the ginger, and that's great as far as I'm concerned. I love that. You know, and then some other ones I like are just. I like a good Cape Codder, vodka and cranberry.
Okay.
With a little bit of lime.
That's
a great one.
Oh, you're down to one left. So one more for your Mount Rushmore.
I one left. One yeah. left. Yep. I'm going to go with one more, and it's going to be the gin and tonic, just because, A, I'm drinking it now, and I love them, and they're so refreshing. That's why I'm kind of stumbling over the words just a little bit. This is number two. along with the two, you know, I ordered from Jake's tonight because, mm-hmm. you know, you can still go pick stuff up here.
That's cool.
And I had to have my corned beef and cabbage and carrots and potatoes, and they provided. But they were also still, they made it so that if you do order from a place, you can also get drinks to go.
Okay.
So I brought home two beers, so I had them with dinner, and now I'm on, you know, gin and tonic number three, and it's going to have to be the last one because I'm now out of gin.
So basically, we have like 20 minutes of the show to do left here before you pass.
Well, you know, I might move it because I do have soda, so
all
I can
right,
do
right.
Jim Beam and Coke, or I can do... See, now I have Bacardi. I have the white Bacardi, but mm-hmm. I generally use that more for like a pina colada or a daiquiri. Daiquiris are good, and they don't have to be. I'm going to bring that up too. Some of those drinks, the frozen margaritas and daiquiris or whatever, it's just too much that, you know, the novelty, I'll call them novelty drinks, the, you know the ones I mean, the ones in the oversized glass that, you know, the girl gets out at the bar, the big frozen monstrosity.
Mm-hmm.
It has about 7,000 grams of sugar.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing but a hangover waiting for you.
Yeah. And but diabetes.
But a basic daiquiri can be very good. But that's what I like to use the white rum for.
Okay.
If I'm doing like a rum and coke or even the mule, a Caribbean mule, I like to have a spiced rum, like I said, like a Captain Morgan. Right now I got this one. It's called Oak Heart. I think it was like $17. But it's a spiced rum by Bacardi, and I hadn't seen that one before, so that's what I grabbed and tried, and I tell you, it's solid. It is solid for a spiced rum.
Hmm. White rum. I've never tried it. That would be interesting.
What's that?
Well, going back to white rum, like, I've never tried that before, so.
Well, that's your basic clear Bacardi. That's.
I've had it. Okay. Okay. So
yeah, that's bigger than you had that one.
Oh, okay, of course.
Now,
right.
now you were saying that the roommate there offered some scotch. Now I'm gonna bring this up right now is that scotch is one of the few things that I haven't yet really approached. I got the bourbon is good. I don't know if you've ever had rye whiskey, but that's a bit of a different experience, and I'd recommend trying it.
I think I tried it, but I forgot. I think I need to try it again.
It's got a wheat-like, you know, I don't know how to explain it, but it's almost a little bit of a spicier, lighter but spicier, I don't know if I'm explaining it right, feel to it. But it is, I like that. Even just as a highball with some ginger ale. I kind of prefer that as a highball to bourbon, but you got to have the bourbon on hand, you know, for the other stuff there, for your old fashioned and whatnot.
Right.
Now there's some other classics that I guess we haven't really gotten to, like your Negroni. To me, when you get to the Campari, I'm just not there yet. I'm trying to. I know it's more of an acquired taste, and I think I'm getting there. But that one, just a little, almost too bitter for me. Almost too strong, too bitter.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've ever had anything like that, but that one's involved.
Oh, yeah. No, I probably not. I mean, there's a lot. I feel like whatever I've had in my lifetime, I've only touched the tip of the iceberg, and I imagine you have a lot more inventory in your system than I do. So let me give you this, just to give you my quick Mount Rushmore, and this is just, I would even call this a preliminary Mount Rushmore, because I think as I start to try new cocktails, this will be changed and adjusted. So this is what I have. I mentioned some already. I mentioned the whiskey and Coke. So Jack and Coke, whiskey and Coke, any type of whiskey and Coke. I don't know if bourbon counts, because bourbon's kind of basically whiskey. It's almost the same thing. Scotch is basically a variant of that, too.
Yes. Right.
So, now you don't have scotch with Coke, but whiskey and bourbon, you can have that with a Coke. Number two, Cuba Libre, and we've talked about that already. Number three, 7 & 7, we talked about that already. And number four is the one that you brought up at the beginning of the program, and it's the Tom Collins. I'm a big fan of Tom Collins. I'm a big fan of the Tom Collins. There's a lot of different types of Collins you can tweak to make it a different type of Collins. So the standard one is a grapefruit Collins, right? And the strawberry Collins is a particularly good one. And then there are ones beyond that too. So they all are pretty fun. I like trying them all.
And kind of in the same boat as a Ricky.
Okay.
With the gin, that's a good one too. Nice, refreshing, and a Collins glass. That's a good one too. You should look that one up.
Ricky
Gin, Ricky. Yep.
Yeah. Good. I love it. So, does the Ricky proclaim that he is the greatest when he goes to second base after stealing the base to break a record? That'd be.
I don't know about that. Maybe on a hot day in the 90s. I don't know. I don't know if he's gonna, you know, take the bag out of the ground and hold it up and do the whole thing. Ricky was a big fan of Ricky. I loved Ricky.
Ricky was the best. He's the best. The game was better for having him. There's no doubt.
Oh yeah.
He's a real kid.
Even when he was playing cards in the Mets clubhouse for playoff games or whatever.
Man, those are the days. All right, so let's get to these random questions that our friend Kevin on the Cape sent you.
I'm interested.
Yeah, so number one, we give you the actual serious question. And it is, in his words, why haven't we seen a craft cocktail explosion? You're going to have to explain. I'd be interested to hear your definition of craft cocktail. But he asked, why haven't we seen a craft cocktail explosion like we have with craft beers? Is it because cocktail drinkers are such pretentious D-bags?
It might have something to do with that. I thought at one point that we might be on a verge of something like that, and it's definitely out there, but it hasn't exploded. And I think it's just because no matter what, there's still a hell of a lot more beer drinkers than there are hard liquor drinkers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I just think it honestly comes down to numbers like that.
I see. Well, that makes sense,
though.
There
are more people who are big-time beer drinkers than there are people as much liquor as we go through in this country. But that's the thing. The consumption of hard liquor in this country has been an up-and-down thing throughout the times. I mean, when this country started, we almost had a freaking rebellion over a whiskey tax. Mm-hmm. And then at times it's gone way down. It's leveled off. And then, you know, Prohibition actually started a lot of cocktails. I'm sure a lot of people know that, especially with mixers and cocktails, because they had to hide how bad the bathtub gin and all the contraband was. Mm-hmm. Just how really bad it tasted, so they had people wanted to drink and get drunk, but man, they couldn't deal with how bad everything tasted, so they had to add stuff to it.
Oh wow, look at that, good times. All right, so great answer. I think Junkman will love that answer. So let's go with the completely random question, and he asks, would you rather lose all your teeth or all your toes?
I'm going to go with teeth because they got, you know, there's stuff that they can do for that, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be hard, even with, you know, I guess they'd set you up somehow, but getting around I don't think would ever be the same.
Right.
Once your original toes are gone. I mean, I don't quite know all the mechanics on that, but I do know that, you know, I've seen people, you know, who have, you know, dental implants and whatever, and they're doing fine, mm-hmm. and they're still walking around good, so, mm-hmm. And I'm on my feet a lot.
Right.
That's the other thing. I'm on my feet a lot. I walk around a lot. I kind of want to keep all that intact.
Yeah. Love it. It's true, because I think the toes are more important, because it's one of those things where you don't realize how important they are until you don't use them. It's like, oh, it's tough to get up now. It's tough to swim. It's tough to walk. It's tough to stand. And even if you like want to, you know, kind of bring yourself up a bit on the tips of your toes. Well, how are you going to do that with no toes? See, that would be a huge challenge. So, I think it's a good answer.
On the same vein, something that people don't think about. What finger do you think is more important? Your pointer finger or your pinky finger?
Oh, wow. Oh, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I would think the pointer finger, it would seem that way, but the pinky finger probably has a bigger role than you realize.
It does, because close your hand. Where does all your grip strength come from? It comes from the last two fingers.
Ooh.
If you lose your, here's what I've heard. If you lose your pointer finger, your middle finger almost automatically will take over that role and learn it real quick. That's where giving the finger comes from, actually, because the English longbowmen back in the Middle Ages, when they were captured by the French or whoever they were fighting, the enemy would actually cut off their pointer finger, thinking that from there on out they wouldn't be, when they were released and went back, that they wouldn't be able to fight anymore because they couldn't use their hands the same way to pull on the bow and release the string on the bow. Mm-hmm. But they would take over, and it said that at one point they stood there, you know, with their middle fingers in the air, waving at the guys, and that's where, you know, giving the finger comes from. Hmm. Now, I started thinking about this several years ago when I saw this article. ESPN did it, I'm pretty sure. It was about this college football player. He was Division II or Division III, whatever. But he was a senior. He was a linebacker. And he was a team captain. You know, he had worked hard and whatever. And a couple games into the season in practice one week, he caught his pinky finger on a jersey of one of his teammates. And ooh, it was broken bad, like out of the skin, the whole thing. Mm. So, you know, go to the doctor and they say, you know, they put it back in place. And it's kind of like, you're done for 8 weeks, which was the rest of his senior season. And he didn't quite want that to happen. So he said, well, what if you take it off?
Ooh.
And he did, and they did. That's what they did. So he missed like two games instead of the rest of his senior year.
But now he has no pinky for the rest of his life.
Right.
Oh, that's weird. That's quite a decision. I don't know if I go that far.
But it was kind of like, the whole thing was, well, it's just a pinky finger, but then it went into, you know, how that's can be more important.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, I think, what did you say? You know, I'm in school to be an accountant. You know, I'm not a concert pianist. Mm-hmm. But the one thing that was kind of, I don't know, funny or humored me a little bit is that he said that he'd type up, because I guess when you lose something like that, your brain still thinks it's there.
Oh, really?
And your nerve still thinks it's there for a while. Mm-hmm. So he said he would type up reports and papers for school, and all the P's would be missing.
Oh, man.
I was like, oh, my God. Yeah. You wouldn't even think of that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean,
and your brain thought that the whole thing, that, you know, that it was going, but... but you're right. That's quite a decision, but I thought that was a... yeah, I don't know how we got on that. Thanks, Junk.
I don't know.
That was always something I... Oh, because he asked about the toes, and you were saying, oh, we don't think about the toes like that, and you're right, and it's like you wouldn't think about the pinky finger being that big of a deal, but I guess it kind of is.
Yeah.
But apparently this kid made his choice and was, I guess, fine with it, but you know, I don't know if I'd make the same choice or not.
Yeah, that's, because, yeah, I mean, I think we'll leave it at that, but it's as I mentioned, it's a tough choice. It's a tough choice. Yeah. Good. Thank you very much, Junk Man. That was a great question. Both of them were great questions.
Yeah, that was those were good.
Yeah,
those were good.
So all the props to Kevin on the Cape for those questions. So now we segue into our top 10 worldwide. These are the best selling cocktails on the entire planet for 2019. Yeah. We're gonna run them down one by one, and we'll get your thoughts. All right. So number 10 from BusinessInsider.com, Moscow Mule. So that's one of your mules.
Yes.
Pretty good. So there you go. Number 9, Aperol Spritz. And I'm not familiar with this one. So have you?
That one's fairly big, like in Italy. And what that is it's a sparkling Italian wine and Aperol, which is a bitter Italian liqueur. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a junior varsity Campari. I don't know if you know what Campari is, but it's kind of a bitter.
Okay.
It's a liquor that has this, like, bitter taste. It's really not something you drink straight. It's more of a, like an orange liqueur, like a modifier.
Okay.
But it goes in a Negroni, and that's what kind of makes those just a little off for me.
Okay.
So far, but I'll keep trying them. But the Aperol is a kind of a junior varsity version of that.
Okay.
And I've never had one, but I guess they're pretty cool and refreshing is what I got out of it.
Okay. Well, let's move on to number 8. It is the Margarita. A lot been talked about that, so we'll move on to the next. So, you know, very good, and obviously a go-to for a lot of us here in California and for a lot of people everywhere.
Yeah.
Yep. Number 7, the Espresso Martini. Now, that's an interesting convergence of coffee and booze. Now, typically, you're looking at Irish coffee, which goes the other way. You take the coffee and you put booze in it. This sounds like you're putting coffee in a martini. So that's kind of interesting.
Yeah. Martinis are good. Just a regular, basic gym. I haven't quite ventured off into all the different things that you can do with them, because I know that, you know, at some point they start using vodka in martinis, which I guess is fine, but they use a different flavor of vodkas and this and that to make their craft martini. I guess we'd call them craft martinis. And that's fine. They can have their fun. I'm probably going to end up trying them one or another here sooner or later. But the coffee one, that's...
I have not tried it either.
Yeah. That could be something I could try.
Well, that's just going to bring you some interesting emotions.
I was going to bring up coffee liqueur a little bit, but I was going to wait for your list because I think the big coffee liqueur thing is probably coming up.
Ah, yeah. Well, let's read on. So number 6 is dry martini, which goes the traditional route. You go with the gin.
Yeah. There we go.
Yeah. And so it's even after all these years, a basic dry martini is still in the top 10 of worldwide cocktails. I think that's a very good sign for the tried and true. So
I mean, how can you pick against James Bond? It's impossible.
Great call. All right, so number 5 is the Manhattan. That's one that I think you've talked to me about. Made with sweet...
but not tonight. That's another favorite of mine. It took me a little while to get warmed up to that one, but once I did with the I'm blanking now. I shouldn't drink and do podcasts, I guess.
Well, you're talking about the sidecar and then the bitters and so on in the beginning of the show. Old fashioned.
That's
too.
True.
So I think you were getting it old fashioned, so there's a little bit of commonality with the common traits between the two.
Yeah, but you have the vermouth in the Manhattan, which gives it a little bit of potency.
Yeah,
it's a little bit of almost a musty type deal with the red vermouth there.
Yeah,
the wet vermouth, which I always have that on hand just so I can do a Manhattan, mainly in the winter. That's not really to me. That's not really a summer drink. In the summer, I like my Collinses and my daiquiris and my Patron and pineapple and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
But there are, like, the old-fashioned, you know, those darker drinks. To me, they're more wintertime drinks.
That seems right.
And the Manhattan's a good one.
Yeah, it's a heavy drink for sure. And I think that's probably why your instinct is right on that. So let's go to number 4. Here we go. The daiquiri. And I haven't had that in a while. I think many of them are blended, but not all, I guess. But let's get your thoughts.
As long as you don't overdo it, I think if you keep them basic, just with some frozen strawberries and some rum and whatever, that could be really good.
Oh, yeah.
Like I said, I have a sweet tooth, but you can't overdo it, or, you know, you just end up sick, really.
It's just like having
Nobody likes that.
It's just like having an icy at that point if you overdo it. So, all right. So, let's see. Number 3 is the Whiskey Sour.
I can't believe I didn't bring that one up. I love that one. I mean, you could do that so many ways, just with some lemon juice or whatever, or you can, you know, buy the pre the pre-made stuff. Mm-hmm. That's a little tacky, but I'm not going to say I've never bought the packets of the powder or whatever and shaken my own. That's the other thing.
Yeah. It says it's some of them are optionally dashed with egg white. Does that sound a little odd to you?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I don't do it that way just because I want to make it simple. Mm-hmm. I don't want to... Normally, I don't... It's almost like... it's almost convenience versus the cocktail. If I'm making it here at home, and the egg white just makes it a little thicker, a little more frothy. I've heard that it's pretty good. I don't think I've ever had one like that. Mm-hmm. I know I've never made one here just because I don't want to get too involved. And after I have three or four anyway, it's kind of like, you know, we need to keep it simple anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think this is the issue with the Harvey Wallbanger, because the requirement of Galliano really makes it difficult for a lot of bartenders. They just don't think that it's popular enough to justify use of the Galliano, which just sits on the shelf for probably the whole year until the one guy orders a Harvey Wallbanger asks for one. And that, you know, I get it. That's kind of weird. Yeah, so let's go to number two. It is Negroni. All right, let's get your thoughts on Negroni, because I'm not sure where I'm at on it.
It's going to be quite bitter for you. Yeah. That's got the big dose of Campari in it. That's the one that's almost a little bit too intense for me.
Mm.
Like I said, I'm working on that one, though, just because... It does have some qualities that are quite good, and, you know, it's just a nice, strong bourbon drink, but it's got that bitterness in it, which a lot of people like. It's hard for me to say that I don't like bitter stuff, and I really don't. I'm not a big grapefruit fan or anything like that, but here I am drinking a gin and tonic, and we all know that that's pretty bitter, but
right.
It's almost got a... There's almost a aftertaste to that that makes it okay, where I don't mind it, because I definitely do love these. And I'm waiting to hear what's number one.
All right, let me give you... Why don't you take a guess first? Take a couple of guesses. We'll see if you get it right.
Is it just the rum and coke? Or is it something...
No, it is not the rum and coke. But you might be in a similar path. Well, I shouldn't even give you a hint. Just give me another guess. Pretend I didn't say that.
Jack and Coke? I don't know.
No. Anything in Coke we've ruled out, so...
Oh, okay.
I'll give you another guess.
You got me. Just give it to me.
That's interesting, because I would have said to you next, don't overthink it. The answer, if you can believe it, is the Old Fashioned.
Oh.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, I know it's taken off again in recent years. And that's the thing. I said, you know, hard liquor goes up and down in this country. Well, so do certain cocktails, and that one was almost one that was dead and buried.
Yeah.
But I think Mad Men had a lot to do with bringing it back.
I think so, because it says here in the article that it's the champion for the fifth year in a row. I think you could attribute almost all of that to Mad Men.
Probably. You know what I was surprised not to hear, and I was saving the thing, was the drink of the Big Lebowski.
Oh.
The White Russian.
Huh. Let me see if I can find it on here. I mean, this has 100 drinks. I only gave you the top 10. Let me see where that ends up.
Oh, it's got to be on there.
Yeah.
The White Russian.
White Russian. Let me see.
Which is basically Kahlua and milk.
Oh, get ready for this. Number 50.
Really?
Number 50 on the list.
Far.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah. Now, that's the White Russian. Now, there's one that I meant to bring up here. That's probably one, after I finish this drink, I'm probably going to have some.
Mm-hmm.
It's called... Don't know where I really discovered it or heard of it, but I think I just found it online, called a Dirty Black Russian.
Wow, what a name.
And it's I mean, it's vodka and coffee liqueur, just like you know, a White Russian. But then you top it with Coke. Mm-hmm. And it's very good. Ooh. It's got a sweetness to it.
Yeah.
Which I'm fine with.
Look at that.
But I think I'll definitely have a couple of them here.
Cool. Well, on this night, for which we're recording, we're recording on St. Patrick's Day, by the way. And happy St. Patrick's Day to you.
You're right. That's a great day to talk about this stuff and yep. the stuff you talked about yesterday with the beer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it will be.
I'm glad you had somebody else talk about that because I'll just drink whatever comes in a can from. I know you have contacts or we've had contacts that are, you know, a little bit more snobbish
right,
about
right,
the beer.
Right, right.
But man, I'm a macro guy.
Macro brew. I love it. Well, in that regard, I can't thank you enough for your breakdown of all these great cocktails. I think I could, you know, even for relatively little experiences you've had, meaning your recent surge of interest in this product or in this genre, you certainly have a lot of expertise. So I think you've done a tremendous job. Illustrating the many great choices for cocktails to our audience tonight, Chris. So I'll give it to you for final thoughts, and then we can take off for the evening and have some more beverages.
I don't have much else. Just I would just say, if you're looking to get into something like this, you don't have to buy everything at once. Just buy a bottle, because with one bottle of whiskey or one bottle of vodka or one bottle of some type of rum or even tequila, even though tequila is not quite as versatile as some of the others, that's the one thing. I mean, when talking about building a bar or making a bar, it's like, well, what five things do I need right away or what six things do I need right away? It's like, don't fret over it. But some things are more flexible than others. But anything like that, you can just buy one thing at a time, one bottle at a time. Go online. There's hundreds and thousands of different drinks and different recipes to try. And you're going to find some. You're probably going to find some that you like. I know I did. And I'm still finding them, and I think it's very worthwhile. It's put some variety in my drinking. It's not just cheap beer and, you know, cheap whiskey mm-hmm. anymore. And I didn't say it, but you're 7-7. That's a great choice. It's a classic, and it's a great choice.
I'm with you on that. It's also easy to order. I love it. It's really good.
Oh yeah, yeah. Easy to order. Easy for them to make. Easy to make at home. Mm-hmm. Just need 7-Up and, you know, Seagram's, which is. It's not a rum. It's a blended whiskey.
Okay. I always wondered what it was.
I mean, we never really got into the whiskey, but you got your bourbon, you got your rye, and you got your scotch. Mm-hmm. And off of that, the rest of it, like if someone's talking either like, quote, Irish whiskey or Canadian whiskey, those are blended whiskeys, and they're very good.
Okay.
Like if I'm at the gun club, I'll have Canadian club with my friend Mike. Mm-hmm. He's a big fan of that. But those are blended whiskeys.
Okay.
Scotch and rye. Or scotch and bourbon, whatever, they blend them all together, and that's what makes your Canadian and your Irish whiskeys, mm-hmm. like your Jamesons and mm-hmm. your Seagrams.
That's good to know.
Those are blended whiskeys, and the Seagram, that's a solid drink. And of course, Seagrams makes many different things. You know, I've had their gin. It's all right. But for the money, I'd still think the New Amsterdam gin is probably a little bit better, a little bit smoother. Mm-hmm. But you know, that's a different topic, I guess. I enjoyed talking cocktails with you.
Yeah,
I know that
for sure. And with that, I say good night for now. And as I mentioned, be safe.
And also, one last thing.
Okay.
If you're thinking about trying stuff like this, now might be the time, guys.
Well, I wouldn't.
What else you doing?
Right, right. What else you doing, indeed? So get after those cocktails while you can, and you're gonna have lots of time to practice mixing these up. So I love it. I love it, Chris. Thanks again. Have a good one. And just stay healthy, everybody. All to you and yours. And I'll catch up with you soon.
Absolutely. All right, absolutely. Bye. Good night.
Good night. Good night, my friend. That's Chris in Syracuse. And that's our show tonight. Thank you very much for continuing your interest in the A to Z series, as our friend Chris will go off to his next cocktail. He did mention something about the beer episode being last episode. It actually is the next one, so stay tuned for it. The reason I said that, is because I originally scheduled it earlier, but we got that coming for you in a couple days. So we'll see you next time.